You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Praise God. It's good to be in church. Hey, last week was a good week in church. We talked about the generous life. We talked about tithing. We talked about giving. And the 7 or 8 weeks before that, we talked all about prayer. And the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer again. Praise God. And I want to let you know that this week and last week, you are so blessed. Because guess what? We only talk about finances, generosity, that kind of thing, about 2 or 3 sermons a year out of 52. I want to tell you, you are blessed that you're here today. Instead of being depressed that you came for that service, you should be feeling blessed because the Lord mentions finances in the Word of God over 2,000 times. So you better believe it's important to Him. Amen. So rather than sitting here going, oh, did I have to come for that week? You should be excited. I'm glad I didn't miss one of the few times that we get to hear about how God cares about my finances. Amen. And so that's what we're talking about today. Last week, we talked about tithing as the beginning of generosity. I showed you in Scripture how it came before the law, how it was in the law, and how Jesus and Paul supported it after the law. So God is good. He hasn't changed what He wants from us, but there is no longer a curse for not doing that, but there is an abundant blessing. Amen. And so that is good news. So if you weren't here last week, do yourself a favor, get the podcast, have a listen. It will rock your world. So today I want to talk to you about the boomerang principle, all right? You want to hear about the boomerang principle? Because why wouldn't you? Now, here's the thing. People keep saying, do you know how to throw that? Look at me. I'm Australian. What do you think? Come on now. Do I know how to throw it? No, we actually will be giving all of you a boomerang today. And you will see on the screen, it will say, please do not throw boomerangs in church. Probably the first and last time in your life you'll see that on the screen at any church. But do not throw boomerangs in church, okay? That's a very important principle for you today. That's one of the boomerang principles. Don't throw them in church. Hey, I want to talk to you about Glenn Wolfe. Anyone heard of Glenn Wolfe? You've heard about Glenn Wolfe? Glenn Wolfe died alone in Los Angeles at the age of 88 years old. And no one came to claim Glenn Wolfe's body. The city had to pay for his burial in an unmarked grave because nobody claimed him. Glenn wasn't an ordinary man. He held a world record. Now, wouldn't you think that someone who held a world record would have had somebody want to claim their body, right? So you've got a world record, you're in the Guinness Book of World Records. Somebody must want you. Someone must grieve you. But Glenn held a world record. He was listed in the Guinness Book as the most married man with 29 marriages to his credit. Now, that means that 29 times Glenn was asked, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Forsaking all others, do you pledge yourself to her only so long as you both shall live? And 29 times Glenn said, I do. I do. He left behind a whole bunch of kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, and a number of living ex-wives, and an innumerable number of in-laws. That is the best reason not to get married too many times. In-laws, right there. Feel like that's God letting you know, right there. How does a person get to that place? In Glenn's case, it was a case of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. And all it would have had to take is for him to sow goodness, forgiveness, repentance at some times in one of those marriages, and he would have reaped goodness. Now, I know some people in here have been divorced. This isn't a dig at you. Come on now. I believe you're pretty different to Glenn Wolfe, the 29-time man. Come on now. I believe you're different to that. I also want you to know that no matter what tragedy you've been through, that doesn't have to be your story. right? Come on now. If you feel like you're on your way there, I don't care if you're at the ninth. And when I say I don't care, I don't mean I don't care. I love you. I care about you. But it's not going to change what I believe about you, that no matter where you're at, that I believe that if you will undertake some humility in the presence of God and begin to sow goodness and sow the right kinds of things, your story will work out different than Glenn Wolf's story. Amen. So if you have had some rough starts, or if you have been divorced, I believe with all my heart, two things: that the best is yet to come, and that God will take a tragedy in your life and make sure that your life is blessed anyway. Amen. So if you've got your Bible, let's go to Genesis chapter 8, starting at verse 20 to verse 22. Right here, God introduces the law of sowing and reaping. See, Noah has just come out of the world's biggest crisis. I don't know about you, but I count flood world as big crisis. Noah's just coming out the other end of the flooded earth. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart has been evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Isn't it interesting that God even asked Noah to gather the animals in the first place? I've always marveled at the fact that God asked Noah in the story to gather the animals onto the ark in the first place. I've always been like, God, you made them to begin with. Could you just make them again at the other end? Do you understand what I'm seeing here? That why not just remake them? In fact, why even save Noah? Let's just start again here. Why does he have to bring all these animals onto the ark? Perhaps God did make some more afterwards. I don't know, but what I've always wondered is, why did Noah even have to do this? You're God. See, there was sowing and reaping right here, right there. Noah had to sow hard work. He had to sow the effort. He had to collect the animals. He had to earn them. He had to sow into their lives and sow into his own life. And he brought them with him. And at the other end afterwards, because he'd done all the sowing and reaping, he was able to sow a burnt offering to the Lord right at the other end of the tragedy. I don't know. Why didn't he just make new ones? I believe it was for sowing. Then out of all his hard work, keeping for the animals, he sacrificed some on the altar to the Lord, and God makes a promise. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Come on, this is a good promise that the Lord has made. Are you excited about it, church? The other day I was in a meeting and people weren't cheering on, people weren't agreeing, people weren't saying anything, and there's a pastor was preaching, and I'm like, man, that dude's going to fall asleep. Don't let me fall asleep, church. Come on, I need to know if you're listening, all right? Noah had just emerged from the greatest crisis to ever hit the earth. I don't know what you're emerging from or have emerged from. I don't know what crisis you've been in, but God gives him a principle that will help him overcome the effects of the disaster. Today, I want to give you this great truth to build your life on. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. In the spirit of a good friend of mine, today we're going to call it the boomerang law. The boomerang law. You're all going to get a boomerang today. It's got written on it. It's meant to come back to you. Luke 6:38. I want you to put it on your desk. I want you to put it on your wall at home or in your office somewhere to remind you what you're doing. Amen. That God made a promise. That God said seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, night and day will not cease. You reap what you sow. This principle will help you move forward, help you get ahead, and help you live well. That means no matter what the circumstance, as long as the earth remains, sowing and reaping is available to everyone. Come on, amen. Sowing and reaping is available to you. Now, as long as the earth remains, no matter what you're going through, God said, as long as it remains, seed time and harvest will never cease. A huge disaster, God says, seed time and harvest will not cease. You may have emerged from a divorce. a hurt in a previous church, a life of sin or a storm or a financial loss. But the boomerang principle is the greatest principle that you could ever learn, bar grace and faith in Jesus. Amen? Throughout the Bible, this principle is reiterated time and time again. Job 4:8 says, "Those who sow trouble harvest it." Proverbs 22:8 says, "He who sows iniquity will reap vanity." Hosea 8:7 says, "They who sow the wind reap the whirlwind." Hosea 10:12, "Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness." Jesus elaborated even more. In Mark 4:24-25, he said, "Consider carefully what you're hearing." He continued, "With the measure you sow, it will be measured to you and even more." Did you catch that? It will be measured to you and even more. Paul reiterates it in Galatians when he says, "Don't be deceived. Don't discount this truth." Come on, did you hear that? Don't discount this, all right? People try to discount this. This is a law that God set in motion way back after Noah and the ark. Don't discount this truth. You will reap whatever you sow. Then again in 2 Corinthians 9:6, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." Galatians 6:7-8, "Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Now, here's what I want you to understand here. God is not trying to punish you with the sowing and reaping principle. It's not like, "Oh, I've done this, now God's punishing me." No, God's not punishing you. But God did create a law. It's like the law of gravity. I tell you what, if you throw a brick in the air, stand underneath it, look up, and it smacks you in the head. God didn't punish you for throwing that brick up in the air. He just created gravity and thanked the Lord for gravity. Amen? Am I right? Someone want to try it? We can show you gravity right now. No, we won't do that. Because don't throw boomerangs in church. Don't do that. But the law of gravity, it's a law that God created. The law of sowing and reaping is just the same. We reap what we sow. God created a theological and a logical law. You will reap what you sow. And Jesus made it even better. And this is what I love. You notice Jesus made everything a little bit better in some cases. Like when he's talking about murder, he said, now hate is murder, right? When Jesus is talking about lust, well, adultery was adultery. And now lust is adultery, right? Jesus did these things here to show us two things. Number one, we got to trust in the Lord to help us be what we need to be. Amen. And here with giving, instead of saying, "With the measure you sow, it will be measured to you," he adds three words, "and even more." And even more. We're going to go to Luke 6:38 later on, and you'll see what we mean by the "even more." This boomerang law affects everything in your life. See, it's not just your finances, my friend. This law affects everything in your life. It affected the life of Glenn Wolf. It'll affect your life as well. This affects our relationships. This affects our businesses. This affects our kids. It affects our job. It affects our attitude day to day, and it affects our finances. And last week we talked about our finances. We spoke about tithing as the very beginning of generosity. You know, Lauren and I have been very deliberate in our finances to always be generous. Lauren and I have made it a principle of our life to always be generous. Whether we feel good, whether we feel rich, whether we feel poor, that we're going to be generous in our finances. You know what? We don't just tithe. You know, we talked about it last week, about tithing is the beginning of generosity, that Jesus said that we should do both. We should both tithe and some, right? And so Lauren and I have made that a principle of our lives. Lauren and I, we don't just do our tithes at church, and then we don't just do our tithes and offerings at church. We're generous out in the marketplace as well. You know, when I go out for lunch, I'm looking for that extra table that I can pay for. When my wife is out for dinner with me, she's looking for the extra table that she can pay for. When we're going through the drive-thru, we're finding a way to pay for the car behind us. You know, even if it's a 20-minute conversation because the person at McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, the person at Chick-fil-A doesn't understand our accent and why we're trying to pay for the person behind us. We're going to find a way to be generous plus some, amen? And so Lauren and I have made this a principle of our lives. We never miss a tithe. We never miss a tithe. We had done very well at one point in our lives, and when the global financial crisis hit, Lauren and I lost approximately $80,000 and we had nothing left. But we kept giving. We kept tithing. We kept going out to lunches and buying people lunches. We kept blessing people, buying gifts, looking after homeless people. We kept doing everything we could because we knew and still know that God's word is true every time. Amen. And if I looked at that one situation and said, God, where are you? I tell you what, my life would be very, very different right now than what it is, because my life has been lived with the principle of sowing and reaping, with the principle of tithing, and with the principle of living a generous life. And so last year, Lauren and I, we entered into a season of reaping that we'd been waiting for, that we'd been asking for. We finally had a baby girl. See, it's not just finances, my friend. We'd been wanting a girl. Not that we didn't want the other three, we did. We loved Judah. We loved Eli. We loved Charlie. I nearly forgot one of their names, but I still do love them. And then we'd been asking God for a girl. And it was just like last year, this season opened up in our lives and we've been blessed. Seems to have opened up over our church as well, where a lot of people have been blessed. A lot of people are receiving the answers to prayers in their lives. And a lot of people are coming to know Jesus. And the church is growing. And we felt like we entered this real season of reaping. We bought a house. I got a black truck like I'd always wanted. Come on now. I gotta love a black truck, right? Yeah, that was my goal in life. Big black truck. Ever since I heard that song, I've got a car, a big black shiny car. Maybe tonight we can go for... Anyway, I'll keep preaching. And so anyway, I got my big black shiny car. We got a house. We've already been offered almost 20% more for the house than we even paid for it, because we got a great bargain because we found the house that we wanted. We wanted a house. A house that we could have family come and stay with us in Australia. We'd been living in a 1,200 square foot little dinky die. And then and we'd have family come for 6 weeks. In-laws. Glenn Wolf, in-laws, 6 weeks. You get the principle there, don't you? And so we're like, come on now. We need something more. So when family come, we're not on top of each other the whole time. And also that we always would have the staff and the leaders over to our house. And sometimes there'd be 40 staff and leaders at our house and it just didn't work. We had to keep setting up tables in our driveway overflowing onto the road so we could have leadership meetings. We wanted a house that could fit them in, that could fit in our family as well. And praise God, we got that last year. We believed what God had said to us, and we got what we asked for. Now, you don't think we just sat there and thought, oh yeah, God, we're going to sit here, we're not going to work, we're not going to save at all, we're not going to do anything, we're not going to give, we're not going to be generous, but God, would you give us this house? And I feel like God would look at the guy who buried the talent in the ground and say, hey, even what you do have, we'll take. Come on, but we sowed, we sowed, we sowed, and we prayed, we prayed, we prayed, and the Lord answered our prayers. This week, I want to give you 5 principles of sowing and reaping that I really do hope you understand today. I believe it'll change your life. They're not really complicated. They're just principles that most of you have probably discovered in your life already. I want to remind you of them. I want to show them to those who haven't discovered them yet. Principle number one. Sowing and reaping is a theological and logical law. See, God set it up that way. It's theological in that it shows our faith, our trust, and our obedience to the Lord. And it's logical because people respond in keeping with how they're treated. It's been my experience that most people I punch in the face punch me in the face. That has been my experience. I have done it. You better believe it. Only done it once because he hit harder and I decided that's not how I'm going to live my life. And ever since that day, I decided that I was going to learn to ride a bicycle and run fast, so all I have to do is punch and run. Punch and run, my friend. It's logical. It's a natural law. It applies to everyone. Number two, because it's a law, it works whether you believe it or not. Now, you can throw that brick up in the sky. You can stand underneath it. You say, I don't believe in gravity. You're about to meet gravity right in the face. You will discover gravity. You can jump off a building and say, I'm going to jump off here because I don't believe in gravity. And guess what? God created gravity. And thank God he did. Amen. You know what? I'm reminded of Jesus on the cliff and Satan saying, jump off the cliff, the angels will come. Come on, God created gravity. God created natural laws that apply to everybody. Amen. And it's the same with sowing and reaping. It's exactly the same. Fire burns whether you believe it or not. Gravity works whether you believe it or not because it's law, not a rule. See, the law of sowing and reaping will work whether you're an atheist, a Buddhist, a believer in Christ. It's just how God set it up. I like how he says that he sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, just alike. Number three, the laws of reaping apply to everybody without exception. It does not just apply to the poor. It does not just apply to the rich. It does not just apply to those in the middle. You remember the story of the widow's mite. A small seed was as honorable as anyone else's larger seed. And like Paul said, we should keep it in keeping with our incomes. The laws of sowing and reaping apply to everyone without exception. We just nearly experienced gravity right there. I'm going to move this a little, hey? There we go. Sowing and reaping applies to all aspects of your life without exception. Do you want a promotion? Sow prayer and sow effort. Do you want a wife? Sow prayers and sow effort. Do you want a husband? Sow prayer and sow effort. Do you want health? Sow two things here. Sow prayer and sow good food. General law. I am going to have a healthy year this year, and I'm going to only drink 8 liters of Coke a day. I'm going to eat French fries all day and live on cheeseburgers. But I'm praying for health. Give God something to put his favor on, amen? Come on. Give him something to put his favor on when you're praying. The two enemies, this is number five, the two enemies of sowing are procrastination and fear. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? People always say, I'll be generous when I've got blah, 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 blah. Fit there, didn't it? Yeah, yeah, come on now. I'll be generous when I earn blah, blah, blah. It doesn't work like that. I had a conversation with someone this week and this idea that, you know, when I earn this much, I'll tithe. I was explaining to them the principle that, you know what, when you earn $100 a week, tithing is $10. Now, not to belittle $10, but you can't do a whole lot with $10, right? You can do some things with $10, but you can't do a whole lot with $10, right? Not here anyway. Maybe turn that into a billion rupiah in India and have some fun. But right here, your $10 can't do a whole lot. That's 10%. But hey, you know what? If you say, but when I earn, and somebody was talking to me, they were saying how, yeah, but if I get used to living on this, when I finally earn $200,000 a year, then that 20 grand, I won't even need it. I was explaining, well, that's just not how it happens, because what happens is we go from the 100 to the 200,000 on the way. We increase our living expenses the whole way, and we're wondering, God, why can't I make $200,000 work? Because at some point, we've got to say, God, here's a godly principle that you showed me that will bless my life, and if I make a sacrifice right now, then God will bless it. And when I get to that number, I'll be giving even more, and I won't even feel it. That's how it works, my friend. Come on. But procrastination says, because if you think, you know what, I'll magically do it when I get 200 grand a year. Come on now. That is the mortgage repayment on, there you go. 20 grand is a mortgage repayment on a vacation house. It's a brand new car every year. Or the payments on a real fancy suburban LTZ, nice beast of a car. This is what happens. You finally get to the level and then you want to use it on something else. It just doesn't work like that, my friends. Sorry, mate. Or a real nice Ford truck. There you go, Peterson. I said it right there for you. Procrastination never works, my friend, when it comes to sowing and reaping. The time to sow is now. And next week, the time to sow is next week. And the week after that, the time to sow is the week after that. Sowing and reaping, my friend, the time to sow is now. Ecclesiastes 11 says, "Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Sow your seed in the morning, and at the evening let not your hands be idle." You need to make a decision to deliberately sow for a harvest. It's a decision that you make intentionally. Luke 6:38, "Give and it will be given to you." Someone say, "given to you." A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Luke 6:38 is printed on your boomerangs. Can someone hand out some boomerangs to everybody in here this morning? I think there's like six people that have said, "I just want to give everyone a boomerang today." And on here it says the simple line, "it's meant to come back to you." I want you to remember every single time you see these boomerangs that it is meant to come back to you. That if you give, it will be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. And like Jesus said in Mark, "and then some." Come on, can someone say, "and then some"? And then some, praise God. I want you to take this boomerang. I want you to put it on your desk. I don't want you to give it to your kids because they're going to kill someone. All right? Seriously, your kids will kill someone with this, all right? This is dangerous. Some of you will be safer just not being aimed at. Put it in your office and be reminded, tithing, giving, a generous life is meant to come back to you. You know, just like this boomerang was designed to come back to you, so is the life of generosity and sowing. Oh, and by the way, just so you know, God can suspend the laws of nature and the laws of sowing and reaping to protect and bless you too. All things work together for the benefit of those who love Him. That's what the scripture says. All things work together for the benefit of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. There may still be natural consequences for actions, but you can pray to a supernatural God. Amen. We pray to a supernatural God. Are we done with boomerangs? We're done? Fantastic. Now do me a favor. Don't pretend to throw them at people. We're still preaching right now, okay? Don't pretend to cut people with them. We're still preaching. But can I have the band come back up? So you may have made bad decisions, but keep sowing. Keep chasing after Jesus, and He will make certain that all things will work out together for the benefit of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Why? Because that's what Scripture says. That's what His Word says. I want to finish with a story. Lauren and I have lived by this principle, sowing and reaping. I received a message the other day from a dear friend here at Eternity Church, a wonderful lady in our church. She said something along the lines of how she admires how Lauren and I lead, and that we have been blessed with many people from hurt backgrounds and bad decisions, and people have even been hurt from churches that they've been in. And this wonderful lady explained how these people can often bite. Not like bite me, but just sometimes people like that can bite. You know what I mean? People who have been hurt can just say things and can do things that just bite. You know, they can hurt people. And she said, "We bite," and this really broke my heart a little bit when she said this. Like, I just began to weep a little as I read this message. She said, "We bite, but we've never ever seen you bite back. We bite, but we've never ever seen you bite back." Sowing and reaping, my friends. As I read those words, I did begin to weep a little bit, like I knew the Lord was using this lady to say, "Love, always sow love, and you'll always reap what you sow." And people look at our church, and today, by the way, is exactly 4 years since we landed in the US. Today. Exactly 4 years today. And our church has exploded. The growth, the blessings. And you know what? I just realized something. It's people say things like it must be easy. I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. It's not. It feels good, though. I tell you what, it does feel good, and I love my job, and I love my life. And I can tell you again, and I say it all the time, I'm not leaving this church, ever. Until we get to 35 years or something, and it's time to hand it on to the next generation, amen? A healthy, a strong church. Unless I die, this is where I'll be. We're not leaving. I don't care if it's hard or if it's easy. But it hasn't always been easy, but we have decided that we're just not going to be the sort of leaders that need to bite back when someone bites us. There are so many times that people have bitten us, and we have been as kind as we can imagine, and they end up coming back. There's people in this room who have left and said things to me, and we refuse to sow negativity or harsh words or to sow gossip, and they're back. There's a family, there's a young family that bit us real hard recently, a couple of years ago. There's a bite, and it hurt. It really hurt Lauren and I, like deep in our soul hurt. And I get a message from them this week, and they want to come back. They want to come back. Why? Because if you reap what you sow, you reap what you sow, and then some, praise God. And in your life, my friend, even when people blame their problems on you, when you reply with a very sincere heart, I love you, you will reap what you sow. Would you stand up with me? We're going to worship God for a moment. We're going to have an altar call. And there's two things that's really interesting at play right now. There's the supernatural, and then this natural law God created of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. The supernatural of prayer and the power of God and the presence of God. And the natural thing that God created of sowing and reaping. When you mix them together, both created by God, you live a powerful life, my friend. You live a blessed life, my friend. If you need prayer today, if you're here and you're like, you know what? There are things I've sown that I desperately need the Lord to come and suspend the natural laws of sowing and reaping so I don't reap that. I believe He can do that. He stopped the rain on Israel, and that's a natural law. He also says, call on me, ask and you'll receive. Some of you need to ask not to receive the things you sown back then. Ask God to suspend that. When He says all things work together for the benefit of those who love Him, means that even the wrong things we've done will somehow work together to bless us. Or the wrong things others have done will work together to bless us. Some of you need to ask God to help. Help. God, help me reap things I haven't even sown. You know what? I tell you what, some of you need to come down here because you feel tired of sowing, like Lauren and I did when we lost everything. And you just need to come and let the Lord refresh your heart. The goodness and the benefit and the blessing of staying true to the course that God put you on. And let Him encourage your heart so that don't give up before the harvest comes, my friend. Some of you need prayer for healing. Healing. You know, prayer is sowing too. Prayer is sowing. You better believe it. Come on, let's sow prayers. Keep sowing those prayers. Don't stop. Don't give up. Sow those prayers. Get your healing. Come on, get your healing in Jesus' name. Get your family restoration. Don't just sow in the relationships without asking the Lord and sowing prayers and asking God to do supernatural things. God, put favor on what I'm doing here. Come on, do the two, prayer and sowing and reaping. Whatever you need today, come down the front here, and me and my team, we want to stand in prayer with you and believe God. Number one, for sowing and reaping. Number two, to protect you from the things you may have sown. Number three, just miracles. Just miracles in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.